الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره، ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Respected علماء، elders, young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His grace and mercy, sent approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam for the guidance of mankind. The first of these Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam is our great 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 grandfather Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And the last of these Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam is our most beloved Nabi Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Every Nabi that came into this world came with the religion Islam. Because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is only one religion, and that is Islam. And all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent different deen with the various anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam that he sent into this world. Inna deena indallahi al-islam. The deen in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is only Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. One who looks for a religion, deen, other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And in the hereafter, he will be from the losers. So Adam alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Nuh alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Dawood alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Musa alayhi salatu was salam was sent with the religion Islam. Isa alayhi salatu was salam, the Prophet of Allah, who arrived into this world before our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he also was sent with the religion Islam. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was also sent with the religion Islam. And Islam was a course prepared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humanity. So during the time of Adam alayhi salatu was salam and many years after, the humanity was in its infancy. Thereafter childhood, thereafter youth, until the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when humanity reached its full growth. So just as a child that takes admission in a nursery, thereafter primary, thereafter secondary, thereafter college, and thereafter university, before it is able to complete its degree, similarly, Islam was divided into many parts. The fundamentals were the same throughout. Believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the malaika, believing in the rusul, believing in the books, believing in jannah, believing in jahannam, believing in resurrection after death, throughout. But the discipline differed. Because during the time of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, humanity was in its infancy. So the discipline during the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salatu was salam was different from the discipline during the time of Nuh alayhi salam. And the discipline during the time of Nuh alayhi salam was different from the discipline during the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And discipline during the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam was different from the discipline during the time of Isa alayhi salam. And the discipline during the time of Isa alayhi salatu salam was different from the discipline during the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So like a child, from nursery until university, there are certain core issues which remain the same. It is expected from a child attending nursery not to lie. And this core principle will remain the same in primary, in secondary, in college, in university. Similarly, another core principle, you should not oppress anybody. You should not cause inconvenience to anybody. A core issue that remains throughout. But other disciplines change slowly, 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 slowly. What is tolerated from a child in nursery is not tolerated from the student in primary. And what is tolerated from a student in primary is not tolerated from a student in secondary. And what is tolerated from a student in secondary is not tolerated from a student in college or in university. So the core beliefs and the core fundamental discipline remained throughout. And many other disciplines, they varied. They varied. Until humanity became matured after the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or just before his advent. When humanity became matured, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent so that the humanity can complete its PhD in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that PhD was completed, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana khatamun nabiyyina la nabiyya ba'di." The course is over now. I am the final professor, final tutor, final teacher. There is no Nabi to come after me. I am the final messenger. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa radhitu lakum al-islam deena. This day I have perfected your religion for you. So the Islam that was incomplete during the time of Adam alayhi salam, which was incomplete during the time of Musa alayhi salam, which was incomplete during the time of Isa alayhi salam, has now become complete. But for their era, it was not incomplete. For a student studying in nursery, the course that is taught to that child is complete for that particular child. So for the people of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, that course was complete. But the course was yet to evolve. And it continued evolving, 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 evolving until the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the whole course became complete. So it is not a different religion that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has brought to the humanity from the religion that was brought by Adam alayhi salam, or Nuh alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam. No. Bahisai rasadi laye the shariat Isa wo Musa. Mukammal deen lekar hai Muhammad Mustafa aaye sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, they came with the same religion of Islam, but they came with disciplines which were sufficient for their time. Bahisai rasadi laye the shariat Isa mukammal deen lekar hai Muhammad Mustafa aaye. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has come with the complete code of life. Islam is complete now. Because the people who will follow Islam, the humanity has reached its maturity. بحصے رسدی لائے تھے شریعت عیسیٰ و موسیٰ مکمل دین لے کر ہیں محمد مصطفیٰ آئے. محمد اور آدم کا تعلق اس سے ظاہر ہے. The connection between Muhammad and Adam is very, very clear. What is the connection between Muhammad and Adam? Despite there being thousands of years in between, despite there being approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam between the two of them, محمد اور آدم کا تعلق اس سے ظاہر ہے. وہ لے کر ابتدا آئے, یہ لے کر انتہا آئے. آدم علیہ السلام came into this world with the beginning of Islam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came into this world with the end part of Islam. And he completed the religion of Islam. And he said, Ana khatamun nabiyin, la nabiyya badi. I am the final messenger. There is no Nabi after me. Ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadim mir rijalikum, walakin Rasulullah wa khataman nabiyin. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah and the final prophet. There is no prophet to come after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a new sharia. Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will descend. Because Isa alayhi salatu wassalam has yet to die the natural death. It is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Each soul has to taste death. And Isa alayhi salatu wassalam is no exception. Isa alayhi salatu wassalam was resurrected into the heavens. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. The enemies of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam neither crucified Isa alayhi salatu wassalam nor killed him. بَرْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised him up into the heavens. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, during the night of Mi'raj, in the hadith narrated by Malik ibn Sa'sa'a radiyallahu anhu, stated that when I reached the first heaven, I met Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And when I reached the second heaven, I met Isa alayhi salatu wassalam and his cousin Yahya alayhi salatu wassalam. So Isa alayhi salatu wassalam was raised up into the heavens, and he is in the second heaven, and he will return before the day of Qiyamah. And he will return before the day of Qiyamah as the follower of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He will not follow Injil. He will follow the Quran. He will follow the Sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will lead the Ummah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam onto this straight path left behind by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he will descend on the minaret of the Jame Masjid in Damascus, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have mentioned the events before the day of Qiyamah in great detail. First, Imam Mahdi will emerge. And Imam Mahdi will be recognized in Makkah Mukarrama in the Haram Sharif whilst performing tawaf by very great people of that time. The Ummah will be in a turmoil throughout the world. And some very great and pious people of the time will get together, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire them to think in this direction, that the Ummah is in a turmoil. And it seems that the Ummah has no solution now. No solution. The Ummah is heading towards destruction. The enemies of Islam and the enemies of Ummah have overpowered the Ummah in every aspect. So don't you think so, that this is the time when Imam Mahdi will emerge? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Imam Mahdi will emerge at a time when the Ummah will see no exit from the turmoil that it finds itself in. Don't you think so, this is the time? And they will agree that yes, it seems as if this is the time. Then they will come to this conclusion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Imam Mahdi will be recognized whilst performing the tawaf. So let us all travel to Makkah Mukarrama and go into the Haram Sharif. Allah may have mercy upon us and we may be able to recognize Imam Mahdi. So this group of pious personalities will travel to Makkah Mukarrama. They will enter the Haram Sharif and after performing their Umrah, Hajj, whatever Allah has decreed for them, they will sit in the Haram Sharif, in the Mataf, trying to recognize Imam Mahdi. Because the hadith says that Imam Mahdi will be recognized whilst performing the Tawaf. So many people have claimed to be Mahdi in the last 1400 years. The greatest sign of Mahdi is that he will never claim to be Mahdi himself. This is the greatest sign of Mahdi. Mahdi will never claim to be Mahdi. He will be forced to accept that he is Mahdi by the pious people of that time. He will be so humble that he will say, no, 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 it's not me. It's not me. They will say, no, we are 100% sure it is you. And you are to lead the ummah now. This is the greatest sign of Mahdi. So the people of Sham will travel from Sham to Makkah Mukarrama to try and find Mahdi. And Imam Mahdi will travel from Madina Munawwara to find peace and refuge in Makkah Mukarrama. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says that the name of Mahdi will resemble my name. And the name of his father will resemble the name of my father. Yuwatiwa ismuhu ismi, wa yuwatiwa ismu abihi ismu abi. So his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Not a single claimant in history was given this name by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single claimant was Muhammad ibn Abdullah. So they will recognize Imam Mahdi whilst performing tawaf and they will say, you are Mahdi, you are our Amir. We appoint you as the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Lead the Muslims out of this turmoil. We will submit to you and we will do whatever you tell us because you are our Amir. And after many different events, Imam Mahdi will find himself with the Muslim forces in Damascus very soon to face Dajjal with his forces. And this will be the ultimate battle between Haq and Batil. And this is when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend. And Imam Mahdi will be about to begin leading a salat when suddenly people will say, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has descended. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend from the heavens with one hand on the shoulders of one angel and the other hand on the shoulders of the other angel. The angels will bring him down from the heavens. And he will be made to descend on the minaret of the Jame Masjid in Damascus. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning these events in detail, the Muslims had not reached Damascus. And there was no Jame Masjid in Damascus. And there were no minarets because there were no masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will descend on the eastern minaret of the Jame Masjid of Damascus. That means the masjid will have more than one minaret. He will descend. And then a ladder will be provided for him, and he will descend from the minaret by a ladder. And Imam Mahdi alayhi Ridwan will say, "You are the messenger of Allah, you are the prophet of Allah, please lead the salat." So he will say, "No, you lead the salat. You lead the salat." This very first salat that Imam, that Isa alayhi salatu was salam will perform after descending from the heavens, he will perform as a muqtadi behind the Imam, Imam Mahdi alayhi ridwan. And thereafter, he will take charge. He will become the Amirul Mu'minin. He will become the leader until Dajjal is destroyed. Until he passes away, until he dies a natural death. So after taking charge of the Ummah, he will lead every Salat. But the first Salat, he will not lead. He will perform behind Imam Mahdi. To make it very, very clear to the whole Ummah that I have not come as a Nabi, I have come as a follower of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is for this reason I am performing my salat behind an Ummati of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. No Nabi to come until the day of Qiyamah. So what will happen to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will people do what Allah wants them to do? Because over the years, the scriptures change. Approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam had come before our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam. And it was very clear that the scriptures change. The talimat of the Nabi changes. So if no Nabi is to come after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasallam, how will the deen be safeguarded? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna al-ulama warasatul anbiya." The ulama are the inheritors of the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. Now they will safeguard the deen until the day of Qiyamah. Not an iota of change will come in the kitabullah or sunnati rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not an iota of change will come in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or in the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are the main two sources of our deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." It is we who have revealed this dhikr, and it is we who will preserve it till the day of Qiyamah. This zikr means the Quran and anything associated to the Quran. It is we who will preserve the words of the Quran. Alif, Lam, Mim, Dhalikal, Kitabu, La Rayba Fihi. We will preserve the words of the Quran through the Huffaz. Then the correct intonation and the correct pronunciation, we will preserve it through the Qurra. So you may have a Hafiz who is preserving the words, but not necessarily the correct pronunciation and correct intonation. But then you have the Qurra, who preserve the correct intonation and the correct pronunciation. And I will preserve the meaning of the Quran, which includes the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first commentary of the Quran. I will preserve the commentary of the Quran, the meaning of the Quran, and the message of the Quran through the ulama. Be they muhaddiseen, be they mufassireen, be they fuqaha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to preserve the ta'limat of this final deen. And he utilizes the ulama, the people of ilm. People of ilm, they are the inheritors of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. And many great scholars were born and they continue to be born until this day. The first group of ulama, the sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. The second group of ulama, the tabi'in. The third group of ulama, the taba tabi'in. Then the a'imma of hadith, the a'imma of fiqh. And then those who strove in preserving the knowledge of the sahaba, the knowledge of the tabi'in, the knowledge of the taba tabi'in. Those who wrote commentaries on the ahadith. And this continues till today. One great personality from amongst these scholars is Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullahu ta'ala. The commentator of the well-known work of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Sahihul Bukhari. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a recognized muhaddis, recognized by all. An eminent figure in the field of hadith, in the science of hadith, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullahu ta'ala. And his masterpiece is Fathul Bari, the commentary of Sahihul Bukhari. He has compiled many other academic works also, some large, some small, some very academic, some very simple. One of his very simple works is Al-Munabbihat. And Al-Munabbihat has recently been published with a new name, Al-Istidad Liyawmil Ma'ad. Preparation for the day of returning. Preparation for the hereafter. And this book, Al-Munabbihat, he has divided into 10 parts. It's a very small booklet. But he has divided this booklet into 10 parts. And in each part, he brings a hadith or a couple of hadith or a few hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then some quotes of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. Maybe a quote of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu, Usman radiyallahu anhu, Ali radiyallahu anhu. And thereafter, some other sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in and the pious personalities of the ummah. And it is a very, very effective small booklet. Because the words of the pious, words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, words of the Khulafai Rashideen, words of the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. In the first part, he brings those quotes which contain one advice only. So, a quote of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which contains one advice. A quote of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu which contains one advice. In the second part, he brings quotes which contains two advices. In the third, he brings quotes which contain three advices. And so on until the tenth part where he brings quotes of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, which contain 10 advices. I would briefly like to go through a quote wherein we find three advices. And it is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he greeted me. He said, Assalamu alaykum ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he said three things to me. He said, Ish ma shi'ta fa innaka mayyitun. This is the first thing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
and he is not advising our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this advice is meant for the Sahaba and the whole Ummah to come until the day of Qiyamah. Let us memorize these three advices. And let us make a firm resolution that we will hold fast to these three advices. And from today we will live our lives according to the demands of these three advices. We will never forget these advices. On a daily basis we will at least once look through these advices. Ishma sheta fa innaka mayyitun. Live whatever type of life you desire. But remember one thing, a day is going to come when you will die. So live a long life, live a short life. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give you a choice, that for how long do you want to stay in this world? And if you were to say, I want to live for 100,000 years, فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. Remember that after 100,000 years, you will definitely have to die. If you were to say, I want to live in this world for 1,000,000 years, after 1,000,000 years, you will definitely have to die. If you were to say, I want to live only for 1 year, after 1 year, you will have to die. Live a long life, live a short life. But remember, one day, you will definitely have to depart. Any person who comes into this world comes only to depart. Live whatever type of life you wish. Long life, short life, but remember one day you will depart. A luxurious life or a life of abstinence, life of zuhd. Remember one day you will have to depart. A life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or life of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember one day you will have to depart. A life of injustice or a life of justice. Remember one day you will have to depart. A life of akhlaq and good morals or a life void of akhlaq and good morals. Remember one day you will have to depart. It's up to you. Live whatever type of life you desire. It's up to you. In this world Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a choice. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whosoever desires to accept iman, he may accept iman. And whosoever desires to reject iman and remain an infidel, it is up to him. In this world, each person is given a choice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him or punish him on the day of Qiyamah according to the choice that he has made in this world. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ishma shita fa innaka mayyit. We need to embed this message in our hearts and minds. Innaka mayyit, innaka mayyit, innaka mayyit. You are going to become a mayyit. Mayyit, deceased. You are going to die, you are going to die, you are going to die. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have not decreed for any human before you to live in this world forever and ever. No. Allah has not decreed for any human to live in this world forever and ever. A time is going to come, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they will die, the kuffar and the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, and you will also die. Innaka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun. You will also depart one day and they will also depart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says three times in the glorious Quran, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Each person will have to taste death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut, walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyadah. Even if you are in 45 towers, when the time for your departure will arrive, death will come and meet you. Death will not leave us, my friends. Our place and our time has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. each person. His time and his place of departure is decreed. When Malakul Maut extracts our ruh and our soul, he does not come looking for us. For example, if on the 1st of January, my soul is to be extracted at 5 p.m. in the evening, then Malakul Maut does not follow me from morning till 5 p.m. No. He knows that the time is 5 p.m. and he knows the place. So he waits for me in that place at 5 p.m. Because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely bring Salim here at 5 p.m. because I am to extract his soul. Once Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam was sat in his court and a stranger entered the court. And there are other people sitting with Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam. So the person sitting very next to Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, he whispered to Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, and he said, I don't feel very comfortable with this person who has just entered. I am a bit frightened. I feel very uneasy. So can you do something for me? What shall I do for you? He said, order the winds so that the winds can take me far away from here. Because that person is staring at me and I don't like his looks. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, fine. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had given him control over the winds. So he ordered the winds that take him far away from here. So the winds traveled thousands of miles and picked this person up, and this person was taken into a distant land. When this person came close to Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, after the initial greeting, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, who are you? He said, I am Malakul Maut. So he said, you are Malakul Maut? You frightened my guest? Why were you staring at him? He said, I was staring at him because I was thinking to myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated place and time both for the extraction of each person's soul. And it was not possible for a human to walk from where he was to the place where I am to extract his soul in the time that had remained. So I was looking at him surprisingly that this is the first time I am finding myself in this scenario. How will he reach that place which is far away from here? Thousands of miles away from here. And he said that Allah created this fright in his heart and he requested you to send him far away from here, and you instructed the winds to take him to that very place where I am supposed to extract his soul within a few minutes. Maut aahista aakar ye boli, ab chalo saath mere e bhai, hukme rab se tumhe lene aai, ab chalo saath mere e bhai. When death will arrive at its appointed time, إِذَا جَاءَ جَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَاتٌ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Not a second early, not a second late. Exactly on time, the ruh will be extracted. And Malakul Maut has no mercy whatsoever. You can put 1,000 excuses in front of Malakul Maut. That please, just give me 5 minutes. Just 2 minutes. I am the only parent of 5 young orphans. Let me make preparations for them. No. Allah has instructed me to extract your ruh on this date, on this day, at this time. That is the command of Allah and end of the story. So my friends, let us not deceive ourselves because of our current condition. Let us not deceive ourselves because of our youth. Because of our young age. Let us not deceive ourselves because of our health. Let us not deceive ourselves because of the following we have. Let us not deceive ourselves because we are wealthy. Let us not deceive ourselves because we are very influential. No. Everything will be left behind. Everything. Malakul Maut will show no mercy whatsoever. يا صاحبي لا تغترر بتنعم فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول إذا حملت على القبور جنازة فعلم بأنك بعدها محمول يا صاحبي او ماي كمبانيان او ماي فريند لا تغترر بتنعم do not deceive yourself because of the favors that you are in because of your health because of your young age because of the vigor of youth because of the friend circle you have because of your current condition because of your influence that you enjoy in the community no la taghtarir bi tanaumin do not deceive yourself because of these favors why because fal umru yanfadu wan na'imu yazulu because a time is going to come when your life will end and all these favors will come to an end also these favors will perish your life will come to an end and you will be made to face the creator in his court إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً When you carry a janaza in the qabrastan, in the graveyard, at that moment, do not only think that, oh, he's going, he's left this world. No, at that time, remind yourself that the next janaza to be carried in the graveyard could be used. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ Who knows, my friends? In the mortuary of our Jami Masjid here at Henry Street in Batley, the next coffin that has been prepared could be for me. The next coffin could be for me. The preparations of the ghusl that are already made for the next deceased could be for me. It could be for me. The person who always realizes that one day I am going to depart and it could be sooner rather than later, that person will never fail in the hereafter. That person will never fail in the hereafter. Because the one who continually worries about death, that I can go anytime, and I have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after my departure, will always remain prepared. He will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. The clever one is he who controls his nafs, who controls his base desires, who controls his unlawful desires, and as a result prepares for the life hereafter. And how is a person able to control his nafs? How is a person able to control his unlawful desires? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by remembering death frequently. Akthiru zikra hadhimi laddad al-maut. Remember the crusher of unlawful desires. That is death. Death. By remembering death, we will do a great favor to ourselves, my friends. Try to go to the graveyard once a week or once in a fortnight, at least once a month. Try to go to the graveyard. And look at the graves of the people who have passed away before us to learn a lesson. That I know this person. He was so influential. So nobody could see him eye to eye. But look where he is today. Look where he is lying. Only Allah knows what is happening to him in the grave. I know this person. He was fit, healthy, young, and he suddenly passed away. He collapsed. A young man, 40-year-old, in Leicester, 38, 40-year-old young person, living very close to the Islamic Dawa Academy, fit and healthy, never sick. He went to play with his friends, weekly football. And whilst playing on a Sunday, within minutes, he fell on the football pitch. And the next thing they knew was that he has passed away. Death does not discriminate between a pious or an impious person. Death does not discriminate between young and old. Death does not discriminate between white, black. No, death does not even discriminate between a Nabi and a Ghair Nabi. Remember frequently the crusher of unlawful desires, death. Nowadays, my friends, This ni'mat that Allah has granted us through His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that remember death frequently so that you are able to curb your unlawful desires. This ni'mat, this is a ni'mat from Allah. That His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how to become successful in the hereafter. He said, the clever one is he who controls his unlawful desires. And how can a person control his unlawful desires? By remembering death frequently. So when a person remembers death frequently, he will be able to control his base desires. And once a person is able to control his base desires, he will be able to make preparation for the life hereafter. And as soon as a person is able to make preparation for the life hereafter, he will be granted the everlasting bliss in the hereafter. This is the key, remembering death. But it is this very key that we tend to throw away. No, don't talk about death. No, don't talk about death. Don't spoil the fun. Even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His love, instills and inspires in our hearts and minds the thought of death, we try to remove that thought. No, I don't want to remember death. No, it will spoil my fun. It will spoil my life. Why should I worry about death? So continually remember death, my friends. And one way of remembering death is to visit the graveyard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَتُزَهِّدُكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. In the initial stages of Islam, I used to prevent you from going to the graveyard. Why? Because people used to worship graves in the period of Jahiliyyah. And people had just accepted Islam. So to prevent them from that idol worship, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, only bury your deceased. Do not go and visit the graveyard. But when the aqidah of Tawheed became firm into the hearts and minds of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْخُبُورِ. I used to prevent you from visiting the graves. Allah, listen carefully. فَزُورُوهَا. Now go and visit the graveyards. Visit the graveyards. Why? Because there are two benefits in visiting the graveyards. Number one, فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Because visiting the graveyards will make you remember your own death. فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. And number two, وَتُزَهِّدُكُمُ الدُّنِيَا. And it will create an abstinence in your heart for the worldly pleasures. But my friends, our hearts have become so ghafil. The ghafla has engulfed our hearts to such an extent that even the graveyards don't remind us of the hereafter. Even the graveyards don't remind us of the hereafter. Do we not see the state of the ummah at the time of janazah? Just before janazah, when the janazah is taking place, the janazah is in front of everybody. How many times do we have to tell people that please stand in the line, please become quiet, please maintain silence, even in the graveyard. The janazah is in front of us. That janazah does not remind us of the hereafter. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu was once sitting with a few companions and a janazah passed. So the person who was next to him said, whose janazah is this? Are you aware who has passed away in our locality? Whose janazah is this? So Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, yours. So he became a bit unhappy. He felt insulted. So he said, if you feel insulted, then it is my janazah. Either it's your janazah or it's my janazah. Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu was trying to say that when you see a janazah, that is the time to reflect upon your death. That is not the time to engage in any other activity. Whose janazah is this? Who has passed away today? Worry about your death. But no, mobiles are freely used. People stand in groups of four or five and discuss dunya. This discuss dunya in the grave. Whilst the deceased is being buried, Allahu Akbar, and the deceased may be a brother, he may be a cousin, the deceased may be an uncle, the deceased may be a father, the deceased may be a mother, the deceased may be a very, very close friend of ours.
But no, we are neither worried about ourselves nor the deceased. There are three main reasons for us to participate in funeral and Salatul Janaza and in the burial. One is to comfort the relatives of the deceased, that you are not alone during this time of grief, we are also with you. That is one reason why we need to participate in. Number two, to remember our own death. That a time is going to come when I will lie motionless in the janaza like this. I will lie motionless. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when my ruh will be extracted. Good amal or bad amal, only Allah knows. There have been cases where people, their ruh and their soul was extracted whilst committing adultery and fornication. There have been cases in my life, and I am aware of these cases in my life. Many of you must be aware of such cases, that a young man is driving around with his girlfriend unknown to anybody in the community. Not even the parents were aware of it. And as a result of the accident, both are killed. Both are killed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them in this very world. And these people who passed away in this condition, only Allah knows what will happen to them. May Allah forgive them. May Allah forgive them. May Allah forgive. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُبْعَثُ كُلُّ عَبْدٍ عَلَى مَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Each person will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah in the state that he or she has passed away. And in a detailed hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person was to pass away playing a flute, then he will be resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala playing a flute. So remember death, my friends. Remember death. Think to yourself. Ask yourself, what if I die whilst swearing? What if I die whilst watching filthy things on the internet? What if I die whilst fulfilling my unlawful desires? What if I die whilst disobeying my parents? What if I die whilst consuming drugs, whilst selling drugs? What if I die whilst watching films on the television? What if I die whilst having rancor in my heart for my Muslim brother? What if I die whilst having jealousy for my Muslim brother? What if I die whilst having the grave illness and dangerous illness and destructive illness of kibr and pride in my heart? What will happen to me? What will happen to me if I die at the time of Fajr whilst people are performing the Salat in the Masjid and I am sleeping in my bed? And we need to do all this for ourselves only, not for anybody else. We will do favor to ourselves only, not to anybody else, my friends. We need to remind ourselves that a day is going to come when I will lie motionless, when people will bathe me, when people will shroud me, when people will carry me on the janaza, when people will perform my salatul janaza, when people will lower me in the grave, when people will cover me in the grave, and when people will leave me alone and walk away from me. That day is going to come, I will be on my own. And Munkar Nakir will come to me. Munkar Nakir will come to me, and they will question me. Mar Rabbuka? Who is your Rabb? Ma Dinuka? What is your religion? Ma Taqulu fi hadha ar-rajul? And I will be shown the face of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will be questioned, what is your opinion regarding this? Who is this person? If there is no connection with my Creator, how will I say my Rabb is Allah? If I have no connection with my deen, how will I say my deen is Islam? If I have no connection with my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my muasharat is different from his muasharat. My muamalat is different from his muamalat. My ibadat is different from his ibadat. My akhlaq is different from his akhlaq. How will I, my face is different from his face. My style is different from his style. My culture is different from his culture. My thinking and ideology is different from his thinking and ideology. How will I be able to recognize him? How will I say that this is my beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ishma shayta fa innaka mayyit. Live whatever type of life you desire. But remember, فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. A day is going to come when you will have to depart. You will become a mayyit, mayyit, deceased. يَا سَاكِنَ الْكَسْرِ الْمُعَلَّى سَتُدْفَنُ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ فِي التُّرَابِ لَهُ مَلَكٌ يُنَادِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ لِدُو لِلْمَوْتِ وَبْنُو لِلْخَرَابِ. Abu al-Atahiyya, a great poet, says, يَا سَاكِنَ الْقَسْرِ الْمُعَلَّى. Oh, the one who resides in a very high mansion. Oh, the one who resides in a very high mansion. يَا سَاكِنَ الْقَسْرِ الْمُعَلَّى سَتُدْفَنُ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ فِي التُّرَابِ. You will not remain there forever and ever. Very soon you will be buried in the grave. لَهُ مَلَكٌ يُنَادِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. For each person there is an angel who makes an announcement. لَدُو لِلْمَوْتِ وَبْنُو لِلْخَرَابِ. Give birth to your children to die. Give birth to your children to die. Any child who comes here, that child comes to die. And build mansions and erect buildings, so that one day it will become inhabitant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma used to say, Kaifa nafrah? How can I rejoice? How can we rejoice and how can we enjoy in this world? Kaifa nafrah? Wal mawtu min waraina wal quburu amamana. When death is behind us and qabr is in front of us. Wa bayna yaday rabbina mawqifuna wa ala sirati mururuna. And how can we rejoice when one day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can I rejoice when one day I will have to cross the sirat? So this is the first thing, my friends. This is the first thing. Let us become clever. Let us become intelligent. Who is clever? Who is intelligent? The person who remembers death frequently is clever. The person who remembers death frequently is the intelligent person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says so. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma says, we, a group of companions radiyallahu anhum, came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man akyasun nas wa man ahwatun nas, who is the most clever of the people? And who is the most precautious of the people, who is very, very careful that no harm should reach him? Who is that person? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aktharuhum dhikran lil maut wa istidadan lil maut. That person from amongst the people who frequently remembers death and who continually makes preparation for the death. Ulaika kiyasun nas. These are the clever people. Dhahabu bi sharafid dunya wa bi karamatil akhirah. They have gone away with the honor of this world and the nobility of the hereafter. So friends, make preparation. Make preparation. Make preparation. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة كم صحيح رأيت من غير سقم ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. He says, اغتنم في الفراغ. When you have a time of leisure, a few minutes free, then prepare for the hereafter. Utilize that time. اِغْتَنِمْ فِي الْفَرَابِ فَضْلَ رُكُوِينَ. Perform an extra ruku, extra sujood. Perform 2 rakat extra. Recite a few verses from the Quran. Say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Do something for the hereafter. Don't waste these precious moments of your life. اغتنم في الفراغ فضل ركوع. Why? عسى أن يكون موتك بغتة. It is possible that your death may come suddenly. And then further Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says, كم صحيح رأيت من غير سقم. There are so many healthy people that I have seen. ذهبت نفسه الصحيحة فلتة. Never did they become sick, but their death came suddenly and the ruh was extracted suddenly. They went to sleep at night and could not wake up in the morning. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq, my friends. So we need to remember death frequently by going to the graveyard at least once a week, or at least once a fortnight, or the least once a month. Once a month. And those of us whose near ones and dear ones have passed away. We should make a point of visiting the graveyard for two reasons, to benefit them and benefit ourselves. And there are so many people whose parents have passed away, but they have no time to visit them. Just yesterday, at the Islamic Dawah Academy, during a talk, I said to the people, I said, do whatever is possible now, before you depart from this world, don't expect anybody else to remember you after you die. Whatever you want to do it for yourself. Don't expect anybody else to remember you. And how much people will remember you, in order to answer that question, ask yourself that how much do you remember your dear and near ones? And I said that if a question was asked that in the last 10 years, or never mind last 10 years, after the demise of either of our parents, have we been able to complete a whole Quran for their sawab? 99 out of 100 will say, no, I was unable to do that. If we have no time for our parents, who will have time for us? And if we bring this culture into our lives, that we go to visit our parents once a week, once a fortnight, then inshallah, after our demise, our children will follow the same culture. So go into the graveyard. Number two, read books written by authentic, reliable ulama, which reminds us of the life hereafter. The Remembrance of Death, written by Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya, rahimahullah ta'ala. Shauk-e-Watan, Desire for the Hereafter, written by Hakim ul-Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And other books that remind us of the life hereafter. And also amongst ourselves, let us talk about death. And once a month at least, sit down for a while and think to yourself that your ruh and soul is being extracted. The Malakul Maut has come, and Malakul Maut is actually extracting your ruh. Are you ready to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the first thing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, Ishma shaita, live whatever type of life you desire. Long life, short life, life of obedience, life of disobedience, life of luxury or life of abstinence, life of justice, life of injustice, life of moral, life void of morals, life of humbleness, life of pride, life of love, life of jealousy, hatred. Live whatever type of life you desire. Remember, one day you will have to die. Number two, وَأَحْبِبْ مَنْ شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. Love whomsoever you desire. But remember one thing, that a time is going to come when you will have to separate from him. So either you love Allah, which is called ishq-e haqiqi, the real love, there is only one real love, that is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one real love, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anything associate loving, anything that is associated to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, loving parents, that is also real love. Loving the ulama because they have ilm, that is also real love. That is also a branch of real love, ishq-e haqiqi. Loving the masajid, that is also real love. Loving the haramain sharifain, that is also real love. Loving the Quran, that is also real love. So there is only one real love. Love for Allah and anything associated to Allah. Anything else is ishq-e majazi, false love, superficial love. And superficial love will neither be beneficial in this world nor the hereafter. And real love will always benefit in this world and also in the hereafter. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, love whomsoever you wish. But remember, one day you will depart from that person. one day you will depart from that person. So if you fall in love with a girl, if you fall in love with a boy, unlawful love, one day you will depart. Either that person will leave you or you will leave that person. And this love, which is superficial love, which is not real love, will become a means of questioning on the day of Qiyamah. Love Allah only. This heart Allah has given us so that we are able to love Allah. Make this heart the treasure for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Shibli rahimahullahu ta'ala was once approached by a person who was in depression. And he came to Sheikh Shibli rahimahullahu ta'ala thinking that he is a very pious person and his dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came and he said, make dua for me that Allah gives me death. I want to die. I want to die. So Sheikh Shibli rahimahullahu ta'ala said, that what is the problem? We may be able to find a solution to your problem. So he said, no, I do not want to go into any detail. I'm sick and tired of my life. Just make dua for me. Those people who fall in love with anything other than Allah or associated to Allah will always face anxiety and depression in this world. Sooner or later, these days of enjoyment will not remain forever and ever. I want to die. I want to die. I want to take my life. I want to take my life, but I haven't got the courage, so you make dua for me so that Allah take me away. And these very people, they think that if I take my life, then I will find a solution to all my problems. Because life ends, solutions, problems will end. No. When a person takes his life, that is when the problems begin. Real problems will begin then. Abhi to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge. Now out of anxiety, a person says that it's okay. I'm going through this difficulty. After 1 week, after 1 year, after a few months, I will die. And once I'm dead, everything will be over. No. Abhi to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ke mar jayenge. Mar ke bhi chain na paya to kidhar jayenge. If after death you do not find peace, where will you go? In this world, you can always say, I want to die or I will die. The day I die, my problem will be over. But after death in the grave, if you see problems, on the day of Qiyamah, if you see problems, if you are thrown in the fire of hell and you see problems, what will you say at that time? So he said, Hazrat, no, let's discuss your problem. We may find a solution. So he gave a brief account of his problem. He said, I dearly loved a friend. Not for the pleasure of Allah. Because when a person loves another for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is able to overcome the problem. I dearly loved a friend. Maybe for worldly pleasures. Maybe the friendship was lustful. Maybe he was influential and he wanted to acquire benefit from him. So I had a very, very dear friend, a bosom friend. I had a lot of love for him. And suddenly, overnight, he has left me. And he has left a big void in my life. Now, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't drink, I can't enjoy life at all. And I have tried to overcome this problem for the past few weeks, but I am unable to. Please, please help me. This is the result of unlawful love, my friends. This is the result of unlawful love. Becomes a means of destruction in this world and also the hereafter. Therefore, always aim for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create in your heart the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to maintain that love 24 hours. 24 hours we should try to experience the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we are able to do by remaining under the supervision of those people who have acquired the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mashayikh, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One such person says, Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharubat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharubat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wala jalastu ila qawmin uhadithuhum illa wa anta hadithi bayna jullasi. He says, by Allah, day and night, not a single second passes when you do not cross my thought, O Allah. You are always in my thoughts. O Allah, you are always in my thoughts. You are in my whispering. You are in my waswasa. You are in my thoughts. You are in my heart. You are in my mind. These are the pious people. We need to acquire the attention of. These are the pious people from whom we need to benefit. And also make our hearts like this. He further says, وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ وَحَدِّسُهُمْ. Whenever I sit in the company of my friends to discuss things, إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ حَدِيثِ بَيْنَ جُلَّاسِ. The only topic is you, O Allah. I cannot talk about anything else. I only talk about you. And O Allah, wherever I see, I can see nothing but you. Because when I see the door closing, I do not see the door closing. I see the maker of that door and the closer of that door. That is you. Whenever I see somebody speaking, I cannot see that person. I can see the one who controls his tongue. When I see somebody very handsome, I cannot see his handsomeness. I can see the creator of that handsomeness. When I look at the mountain, when I look at the rivers, when I look at the oceans, when I look at the trees, I cannot see the trees or the mountains. I can see the creator of the mountain. وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُحَدِّسُهُمْ. Whenever I sit with people to talk about things, إِلَّا وَأَنْتَ حَدِيثِ بَيْنَ جُلَّاسِ. My topic is only you, Allah. وَلَا هَمَمْتُ بِشُرْبِ الْمَاءِ مِنْ زَمَئِنْ. Whenever I pick up a glass because of thirst, to quench my thirst, إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ خِيَالًا مِنْكَ فِي الْكَأْسِ. And when I look into the water and in the glass, I can see nothing but you, Allah. Gulista mein jaake har ek gul ko dekha, teri si hi rangat, teri si hi bu hai. I went to the garden and I saw flowers of various colors and various fragrances. But in every color, I saw your color. And in every fragrance, I smelled your fragrance. Tera aina aalame rangobu hai. Tera aina aalame rangobu hai. If I want to see my face, I have to look in the mirror. And if I want to see your face, what is your mirror? The whole creation is your mirror. If I look at the mountain, I see you. If I look at the trees, I see you. If I look at the sky, I see you. If I look at the stars, I see you. If I look at the moon, I see you. Tera aina aalame rangobu hai. The whole creation is your mirror. Jidhar dekhta hu, udhar tu hi tu hai. Wherever I see nothing but you, 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 you. Let us love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us learn to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us associate ourselves to the people of Allah. Those people who have acquired the love of Allah, the mashayikh haqqa, and learn from them how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person said that very dear friend of mine, he has left me, he has left a very big void in my life. So Shaykh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala said, is that all? Is that all? And you want to die? You don't need to die. It's very simple. I know a cure, very simple cure. What is that cure? When a person leaves a void in your life, fill that void with love of somebody else. So find another friend. Find someone else who you can be friend. As soon as you find another love, then this void will be filled. And as soon as the void is filled, your problem will go away. So he said, Hadrat, no, not after the first experience. One friend is enough and one experience is enough. 7 years, 10 years, 15 years of friendship. And I never thought this could happen in my life. I do not want to experience this again. So Shaykh Shibli Rahmatullah said, what if I find a friend for you who will never leave you? And what if I find a friend for you who is so kind and who is so loving that even if you leave him 100 times or 1,000 times and then you come back to him, he will accept you again. He said, if I can find a friend like that, alhamdulillah. He said, make friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ahbib man shayt. Love whomsoever you wish. But remember, one day you will have to depart from that person. So why not make friendship with that person from whom you will never depart? From whom you will never depart. As soon as you depart from this world, you will meet that friend. And then that friend will remain with you forever and ever. Ever and ever. Third advice. وَعَمَلْ مَا شِئْتَ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌّ بِهِ. Do whatsoever you desire, good or bad. Do whatever you desire, good or bad. But remember one thing, you will be retributed for it on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will reward you for good and Allah will punish you for evil. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهِ. If you do an atom of good, you will see it on the day of Qiyamah. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهِ. And if you do an atom of evil, you will see it on the day of Qiyamah. When our book of deeds will be presented to us on the day of Qiyamah, my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to us, اِقْرَى كِتَابَكْ. اِقْرَى كِتَابَكْ. Read your own book of deed. Why? You do not need anybody else to tell you whether you belong to the people of Jannah or you belong to the people of Jahannam. Just look at the negatives and the positives yourself. The whole biography will be presented to us. When we will flip through this book of deeds, in this very world, we have forgotten all the good or the bad that we did when we were 15 years old, when we were 20 years old. But on that day, we will remember everything. When we will flip through that book of deeds, what will we say? مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. This book is very, very strange, astonishing. It neither leaves anything minor nor major, but it has recorded it. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. They will find everything that they did in this world. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Rabb will not show injustice to anybody. يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْذَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ. On that day, when each person will find each and every good and each and every evil that he had committed in the world, what will that person wish at that moment? تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. That person will wish at that moment that I wish there was a long distance between me and the day of Qiyamah. Dr. Abdullah Arifi, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that our book of deeds are so filthy. Listen carefully, my friends, because I'm concluding now. Amal Mashet, Allah says through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and through his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to each and every one of us. Do whatever you want to do in this world, good or bad. But remember, one day you will be retributed for it. You will be reckoned for it. And you will be retributed. If it is good, you will be rewarded. If it is bad, you will be punished. We never assess our lives, my friends. Today, alhamdulillah, we were very fortunate to be in this very blessed gathering organized by the Jami Masjid of Batli. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant reward to each and every person who was associated with organizing this event and making it a success. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of forgiveness for us in this world and also in the hereafter. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of our lives changing for the better from today, inshallah. We are sitting here, alhamdulillah. When we return home today, after returning home, from morning until the time we return home, we will only be able to see the good in our lives, not the negatives. So if we did not perform Fajr Salah today, forgotten. If we were unable to perform Zohar Salat today, forgotten. But Maghrib we will remember. Asar we will remember. Isha we will remember. Any good that we do, we always remember. And any evil that we do, we always forget. Why do we forget? Because Shaitan makes us forget. Shaitan makes us forget and Shaitan makes us feel that I am always in profit and positive. So that we do not pull our socks and we do not prepare for the life hereafter. Shaitan desires that we remain negligent of the life hereafter. It is for this reason our mashayikh appeal to us and they say to us that take out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of your time on a daily basis when you can sit down alone in a very, very silent and quiet atmosphere and take stock of your last 24 hours so that you are able to come to some conclusion. Have I profited today or have I made a loss today? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala, it is recorded regarding him that before going to sleep, Hazrat would sit on his bed with his legs hanging and with his hands on the side and he would close his eyes and he would begin thinking and the only thing people could hear around was either Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr or Astaghfirullah. So one day somebody asked him that every day before going to sleep, what do you do? So he said that I take stock of the last 24 hours of mine. And if I see any good, I say to myself that this is only through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has been kind to you that He granted you the ability to carry out this good. And I say, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukra. Oh Allah, all praises be to you for granting me the tawfiq to do this good. And if I find anything negative in my life, then I say to myself that you have sinned Allah. Make a firm resolution that from tomorrow you will not do this. I repent and I say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. The likes of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi reached heights because they used to assess their lives on a daily basis. Daily basis. So we need to assess our lives. Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahimahullah Ta'ala says that our book of deeds are so filthy. But we do not realize at the moment because we never assess our lives. He says that our book of deeds are so filthy that he says, I feel. The reality only Allah knows. But he says, I feel that if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to say to any of us that because of the filth that lies in your book of deeds, you are doomed to the fire of Jahannam. But if you do one thing, I will forgive you and grant you entry into Jannah. And what is that one thing? Let your wife see your book of deeds. Or let your imam see your book of deeds. Or let your student see your book of deeds. Or let your parents see your book of deeds. Or let your children see your book of deeds. Those dear and near ones who thought that we were very, very pious in the world. Let one of them see your book of deeds. Dr. Abdullah Arifi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that it is, I feel that our book of deeds are so filthy that we will give preference to going in the fire of Jahannam over anybody else looking at our lives. Because what we do during the darkness of the night, what we do behind closed doors, what we do when we are alone, what we do when we are in our friend circles, only Allah knows. Allah knows. It is Allah's fadl upon us that despite all our filth, despite all our evils, despite all the negatives that lie in our lives, people see us with honor and respect. Isn't He so merciful? Isn't He so loving? Isn't He so kind? If He is so merciful, so kind, so loving, should we not turn to that Creator and do something to reciprocate for this love of His, for this kindness of His? So my friends, let us go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah, we will make a U-turn from today. We will always remember that one day I am going to die. We will always remember that whatever I love in this world, it's not going to stay with me. Either it will leave me or I will leave that item or that person. And I will be retributed for whatever I do in this world. So it is better that I do good rather than bad. And let us repent and make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will not do anything that displeases our Creator. Everybody makes a firm resolution inshallah. We will only do that which pleases the Creator. We will never do anything that displeases the Creator. And have a notebook and write down all the negative points that you have in life. Ghibah, backbiting, jealousy, pride, disobedience to parents, disrespect to parents, drugs, alcohol, films, music, filthy things on the internet, not punctual with my salat, whatever. All the evils that is in our lives. And once a week, once a fortnight, go through that list and try to at least make a resolution that, okay, once a week or once every 2 weeks, I need to get rid of one thing at least from my life. If you are serious, if you strive, if you turn to Allah and ask Him to help you, my friends, within a few months, you will become the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make a firm resolution that from today, I will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because I am weak, I am filthy, and because I have become wicked, because the love of Allah has not entered my heart yet, because my heart is not enlightened with the noor of zikr, so I will slip, I will make a mistake. And when I slip and make a mistake, despite my resolution, Allah will become unhappy again with me. So what shall I do then? Then make Him happy by using the gift of Tawbah. So Allah will never become happy because Allah will never become unhappy because I am not going to do anything that makes Him unhappy. But if I do make Him unhappy by doing something wrong, then I will not wait for Umrah or Hajj. I will not wait for Ramadan. I will not wait for an auspicious night or auspicious day. I will not wait for the time when I am able to present myself into the masjid. Wherever I am, as soon as I realize that by making this mistake, I have displeased my Creator, I will turn to Him and say, Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. I reaffirm that resolution that I made in Jami Masjid, Batli, on Saturday, the last Saturday of December. I reaffirm that resolution that, Oh Allah, I will not do this again. And Allah will become happy again. So never make Allah unhappy. If Allah becomes unhappy, don't leave Him unhappy. Use this great gift of Tawbah to make Him happy. So taqwa is to make sure that we do not make Allah unhappy. And Tawbah, when we make Allah unhappy, we use Tawbah to make Him happy again. And we return to taqwa again. And we strive to make sure that we don't make Allah unhappy. If Allah becomes unhappy again we make Tawbah. So taqwa, Tawbah, taqwa, Tawbah, taqwa, Tawbah. And to make taqwa and tawbah easy, stay away from wrong company. Stay away from wrong environment. Stay in good environment. Stay in good company. Spend time in the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give some time of your life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sit in the company of the mashayikh, those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stay away from wrong company and wrong environment. Stay in good company and good environment. And number two, Dhikrullah. Make your heart dhakir. Make your heart enlightened with the noor of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that you can do by following the guidance of your sheikh. And if you don't have a sheikh, then in the meantime, at least on a daily basis, 100 times the first kalima, 100 times third kalima, 100 times istighfar, 100 times durood-e-paak. This will help you, inshallah. The dhikr of Allah, good company and good environment, staying away from bad company, bad environment. This will help you to maintain taqwa. And when taqwa is broken, then this will help you to return to taqwa through tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء، اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا، اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين، اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين، اللهم اجعلنا من المتطهرين، اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين، اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك الصديقين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد، ونعيما لا ينفد، ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة، جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا أواخرها، وخير أعمالنا خواتيمها، وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله، ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك، واجعل موتنا في بلد رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين، وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة.
اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة، اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. او ارحم الراحمين، او ارحم الراحمين، او ارحم الراحمين، have mercy upon us. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. O the most forgiving, forgive our sins. We make a firm resolution not to disobey you and not to displease you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our families. Forgive the sins of our associates and friends. Forgive the sins of our brothers and sisters. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive our minor sins, forgive our major sins. Grant us steadfastness on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love, grant us your recognition. Enlighten our hearts with your remembrance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with the love of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your nearness, grant us your nearness, grant us your nearness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love, enlighten our hearts with your love, enlighten our hearts with your love. For as long as you keep us alive in this world, keep us steadfast on Sirat-e-Mustaqim. When you take us from this world, take us with Iman. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Husn-e Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Husn-e Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Husn-e Khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, when you take us from this world, take us in the state that the Kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah is on our lips. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us death whilst we are in Sajda and Ruku. Grant us death whilst we are in the Haramain Sharifain. Grant us death whilst you are pleased with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from everything that brings you displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from everything that displeases you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us control over our base desires. Grant us the ability to control our unlawful desires. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from shaitan and nafs. Save us from shaitan and nafs. Save us from shaitan and nafs. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from your wrath and punishment. Save us from your anger and displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from wrong company, wrong environment. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the good of this world and the hereafter. Save us from the evil of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Grant us shade in your mercy on the day of Qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make our reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make Pul-Sirat easy for us. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entering into Jannah without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimeen, honor us with the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, include us from those people who are Muttaqeen. Include us from those people who are Siddiqeen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our souls. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our souls. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our souls. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our actions. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our actions. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our actions. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from every test and every trial of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought refuge, grant us refuge from it. O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill our lawful needs of this world and fulfill our needs of the hereafter also. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all your pleasure and also acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all your pleasure and also acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this gathering acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive each and every every person who has participated in any way in this gathering. O Arhamur Rahimin, make it a success. And O Arhamur Rahimin, make it a means of hidayah spreading throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon the Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimin, have mercy upon the Ummah. Have mercy upon the Ummah. Safeguard every individual of the Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimin, grant safety to every individual of the Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimin. O Arhamur Rahimin, whatever we have asked from you, grant it to us. And what we have not asked from you, but it is beneficial for us, O Arhamur Rahimin, grant that to us also. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa akhiru da'wana. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.